to be done. But it was too much to do. You'll look at Exodus, if you will, please, in your Bible. Exodus chapter 18. Now, maybe calling them up the same was sort of with the scripture, and be instant in all seasons.
Amen.
Huh? I know we don't usually apply that to singing, but
it's pretty
fine. And you're fortunate, Sam, that you sit over on my peripheral. All right, Exodus chapter 18. I'm going to begin reading, if you'll follow while I begin reading, in verse 13. This is when Jethro, the priest of Midian, who was the father-in-law of Moses, when Moses was on the backside of the desert for a while, that's when he met Jethro and Jethro's family, okay? And here we have, beginning at verse 13. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses sat to judge the people. And the people stood by Moses from the morning unto the evening. Picture that now. Here's Moses, all the people standing there from morning to evening. And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, "What is this thing that thou doest to the people? Why sittest thou thyself alone, and all the people stand by thee from morning unto even?" And Moses said unto his father-in-law, "Because the people come unto me to inquire of God. When they have a matter, they come unto me, and I judge between one and another, and I do make them know the statutes of God and his laws." Moses' father-in-law said unto him, "The thing that thou doest is not good. Thou wilt surely wear away both thou and this people that is with thee, for this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. Hearken now unto my voice. I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God. And thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shalt show them the way wherein they must walk and the work that they must do. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of 50, rulers of tens. And let them judge the people at all seasons. And it shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto thee, but every small matter they shall judge. So shall it be easier for thyself, and they shall bear the burden with thee. If thou shalt do this thing, and God command thee so, then thou shalt be able to endure, and all this people shall also go to their place in peace." When we are young and full of enthusiasm, we don't always see the cost of our effort. One David Roper, in a book he wrote, Out of the Ordinary, in dealing with this passage, says, and I quote, "Sustained by excitement, the potential and rush of opportunities to be achieved by just a little bit more, little bit more time and effort." For Moses, it was an act of love when his father-in-law, Jethro, gave him the advice that he did, that we just read about and about which I am going to speak. The advice of Jethro spared Moses. Spared Moses? We can just imagine it spared Moses of weariness. The scripture says that. Spared him of an attitude problem. Frustration, bitterness, anxiety, all kinds of negative attitudes that Moses, as a man, likely would have developed. Most do when they bear the kind of burden he was. Why, this advice may have even spared Moses of a heart attack. Oh yeah, they had heart conditions back in that day. I'd like you to turn, if you will, and keep your place here in chapter 18 of Exodus. We'll come back to it. I'd like you to turn to Matthew chapter 11. I'm going to read just three verses. Matthew chapter 11. Now, the context and the purpose of these verses in Matthew 11 is different than the way in which I'm using them and making reference to them. If you'll give me that liberty, I think you'll understand after I read it and have my couple of comments. All right, Matthew 11, 28. When Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." A yoke is an object of work, an effort. But Jesus tells us his yoke is easy, bearable. There's a burden to having a yoke, but he says his burden, it's a burden, but it's light compared to others. The burden and load that God gives may be heavy, but it's bearable.
Amen.
I'm going to repeat that. The burden and the load that God gives may be heavy, but it's bearable. I'm thinking of the scripture the Apostle Paul wrote when he says, "There is no temptation, testing, taking you, but such as is common to man. But God, with that temptation, makes a way of escape." And it isn't unusual. Others have had it before. God, listen to this, God never gives more than we can bear. Don't you ever fall prey to that temptation. Why did God give me this? I can't handle it. No, you can handle it. You just don't want to handle it.
Amen.
And who of us does want to handle a burden? We'd much rather all think of life as floating around in clouds of ease and flower-strewn paths, you know? But that's not life. But remember this, God never gives more than we can bear. His work is heavy, but never too heavy. It is our work, the work we add to his work, that wears us out. I'm going to repeat that, because every person here that does anything in the work of God needs to be aware of that. All right? I'm going to repeat it. His work is heavy, but never too heavy. It is our work, the work we add to his work, that wears us out. It is perhaps motivated by a desire to please God, a desire to help others. But when we add to the work God has for us, that's when we get burden we can't bear.
That's right.
Now, God had a work for Moses. And Moses was able to bear it. Not the way he was doing it, okay? But he was able to bear it. Let's go back to, to Exodus chapter 18. I want to read verse 19 and 20 again. Exodus 18, 19. Where Jethro says, "Hearken now unto my voice." You know what he's saying? He's saying to Moses, "Now listen to me, boy." Okay, that's what the mouths do. Okay, listen to me now. I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, and that thou mayest bring the causes unto God, and thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shalt show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do. So here what we find is Moses is God's representative to the people. Okay? God gives Moses instruction, direction, and then Moses is supposed to represent God to the people. But also, according to this 19th verse, he is the people's representative to God. He represents God to the people, but he also represents the people to God. And you'll see that in the end of verse 19. Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes of the people unto God. Listen, that's what a pastor does. He represents God, bringing the messages from the scriptures that God puts on his heart and mind to give us. But then he also represents us. In the case of our pastor, we've heard how he'll come in and he'll walk down the aisle, stop by each pew and think of the people who sit there and pray for them. What's he doing? He's representing the causes of the people to God. You see that? Now, we certainly know that it's a biblical thing to pray. So we know our pastor was doing good praying. But he's doing even more than that. He's representing us, taking your needs. You see, this is why I realize that we don't want to, and we have to use common sense. We don't want to dump anything and everything on pastor. But let me tell you, if you don't share anything with him, how's he going to represent your causes to God? If all you want is a God bless them kind of prayer, then just keep it all bottled up inside. Don't share anything with him. But if you want him to be able to take your causes to God, then you need to let him know. You say, "Well, I don't want to bother him with it." Bother him with it? What do you think we pay him the big bucks for? That was an intended, humorous way to say, listen, that's what God's calling to do. That's the pastor's work. And so that was Moses' job. And then you notice also in verse 21, he says, moreover, thou shalt provide. Now, this is Jethro talking to Moses. He's telling Moses, you should provide out of the people able men. Not just anybody, but able, capable men. And not only do they have natural talents, but look at it there in verse 21 now, don't miss it, such as fear God, men of truth. These are men, they not only love God, and they not only know truth, but you see what else it says? What's it say next? Look at it in your verse, verse 21. Somebody tell me what it says. Huh? What's it say next? Hating covetousness. So these were to be capable men, men who fear God, secondly. Third, men who were men of truth, but they also, fourth, had to hate covetousness. I have frequently seen men who met the first three, but they wouldn't hate covetousness. And then when he says, now here's what you do with those men. You place such men is what's inferred. Place such men over them. Over who? Over the people. Well, why do we have to have deacons and trustees? Why can't we all just have a say in it? Listen, it takes the elder board at least 25, 30 minutes to discuss the beginning of one project. Now let's just quadruple that number, come into a business meeting and let everybody. What that causes is confusion. Not only confusion, it causes hard feelings. That's why God said you need to take capable men with these kind of qualifications, and they are the ones who lead with Moses. Just got a promotion to Moses. But notice, if you're looking at verse 21, to be rulers of what? How many? Thousands. That's it. And then what's the next number?
Hundreds.
And then the next number?
50.
And then?
10.
So what's this telling us? These capable men were varied in their capabilities. A man who ruled 100 was not capable of ruling 1,000. Okay? And when you take a man and you give him responsibilities beyond his capabilities, you create two frustrations. You create a frustration in the man because he's got more to do than he is capable of doing. And you cause frustration in the people that he's supposed to be leading.
That's right, yeah.
And now you've got a man who's capable of handling 100, but you've given him 1,000 responsibilities, and now those 1,000 responsibilities aren't being met. And that's why not everybody can be a deacon.
Right.
That's why not everybody can be a trustee. That's why not everybody can teach a Sunday school class. Because not everybody has the gift of teaching. Not everybody has the gift of ruling. You're never going to improve on God's way of organization. But when you use God's way, it works wonderfully.
Amen.
You know, when the Bible says we're to not covet, that doesn't simply mean we're to not covet somebody's car or house. That also means, as a Christian, you ought to learn to be content with where you are in the body of Christ. And not secretly in your heart. Well, why does she get to do that? I'd like to do that, but they never asked me to do that. That might be because you're not such a man. You're not such a woman. The first thing it says there, that's fear God. That gives us their spiritual condition. And so, you know, this isn't the only place in the Bible where it talks about varying gradations of things. And so, just, you know, and people grow. Now, it's possible that somebody who's over 10 could grow by experience that they'd be able to, next time work's handed out, handle 50. And so you may be able to grow from where you are in your spiritual life and in your church life so that 3 years from now, maybe you could be considered for a task that now you can't be. Now let's go to the New Testament. In the New Testament, we're going to look at 1 Timothy. All right, 1 Timothy. And as your pastor frequently says, if you're difficulty finding the scriptures, then you just follow as I read them. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. This charge, Paul speaking, I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good wherefore. So here we have Paul committing to Timothy. One man commits to another man. And in responsibilities and tasks and what have you. 2 Timothy chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, 2 Timothy 2:2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same, Paul talking to Timothy, the same commit thou, Timothy, to faithful, what's the word? Men, plural, not just one. One man, Paul, gave one man, Timothy, responsibilities. Now, Paul says to Timothy, you one man, give responsibilities to at least two. It's men, it's plural, all right? Who shall be able to teach others also. So you see, Timothy wasn't the only one who was supposed to teach. Timothy was to teach others to teach. That's exactly what he's talking about. Titus, next book in the Bible, Titus chapter 1, verse 5. For this cause left I thee in Crete. Paul left Timothy in Crete. What did he leave him there for? That thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting. Some things were needed. And ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. So here we have where Titus is to do what Timothy did. And in every city, he was to appoint a man who would take care of things that were wanting. And hence, we go back to the message that I gave. It needed to be done, but it was too much to do. Titus couldn't do it alone. Timothy couldn't do it alone. They had to teach some others. Moses' work was threefold: to pray, to teach, and to equip others. To pray, he talked to God. To teach, he talked to the people. When he prayed to God, God would give him what he needed. Then he would teach the other people. And the third thing I said, pray, teach, equip others, he was to talk to leaders. Talk to leaders. Jesus taught the multitudes like the Sermon on the Mount. Thousands. But he spent more time talking with 12 men. And of those 12 men, there were three that he spent even more time with. Peter, James, and John. Why? Because he liked them more? No, God doesn't show favorites. They may have shown themselves more open. It may simply be that Jesus knew Peter, James, and John were able men to whom he could commit much. Peter, James, and John. James and John, sons of thunder. Hey, today we'd say they had anger issues. Peter, he's often called impetuous. You know, the first time somebody said, Pastor, you're like Peter, I felt so good. Until I studied Peter. Yeah. Yeah, Peter began to sink when he walked on the water. But don't you ever forget this. He also had the faith to step out of the boat.
Hey, you got it.
Onto the water. Don't you worry about sinking.
Yep.
God will be there to pick you up.
Yep. Good stuff.
Okay? Just you remember that. When God puts it on your heart to try something that you just feel you can't do, just you go right ahead and try it. God will pick you up if you start to go under. And to use great spiritual understanding, hey, you got a 50-50 chance of winning. You see, we tend to think of why you'll fail. But why don't we tend to think of why we'll succeed?
Yeah, I like it.
Huh? Yeah, surely. Hey, I'm turning the last page, okay? Some Bible teachers believe that this plan back in Exodus 18 to organize leaders is not God endorsed, that it was just Jethro's plan. Those teachers would have us turn to Numbers chapter 11. I'll not take the time to do it. In Numbers chapter 11, they say that's God's plan, verse 14 to 17. That's God's plan when he talked about choosing 70 men from the elders, okay? Choose 70 men. Personally, I do not see Exodus and Numbers in conflict.
No,
I have no problem if people do, but I don't. What I see is Numbers 11 expanding upon Exodus 18.
Yes, sir.
And I want to go back to Exodus 18 and see if I can pick this up. Okay, verse 23, because I didn't see this until I read it. Reading it for you. He says, Jethro says, if thou shalt do this thing, organize them the way he said, if thou shalt do this thing, now look at this, and God command thee so, then shalt thou be able to endure, and all this people shall also go to their place in peace. He says, Jethro says, here's an idea. I believe this is a good idea. Now listen, Jethro's not just some off-the-wall scatterbrain. He's the priest from Midian.
That's right.
He's not a priest of some false god.
Right.
And he said, if God command thee so. And in light of the fact that Moses went about carrying out this plan, gives me the opinion that he felt God would have him do so. Let's give Moses some credit.
Yeah, that's right.
He too wasn't a bumbling idiot. And so Jethro says, here, this is how you need to handle this. And then Moses, what I envision is Moses got the idea. Now he goes before God. God doesn't tell him no. And so he goes ahead with the plan. And then because of additional needs, when you come to Numbers 11, God says, now let's take this plan and kick it up a notch.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Okay? And so we see even more. Now here's the conclusion of the matter. All of that was said to make this point. The value, and listen close to me, the value or extent of our love for God and the determination of our dedication is not based on how much we do. If for some reason you were not able to do anything that you are now doing, be it in the church or in your own home or personal life, if you were not able to do any of that in serving God, would you love him less? Would your dedication be less? You see, our love and our dedication is not based on how much we do, rather on how much of what we do by God's leading.
That's right, yes, sir.
And of His will, not ours. If you ever think to yourself, you know, I see this need and I've got to do it because nobody else is doing it, and if I don't do it, it won't get done. That may be true. But if God doesn't lead you to do it, then don't do it. You say, yeah, but if I don't do it. Yeah, but what? You think God's plans are going to fall apart because of what you don't do? I guess we get a pretty high image of ourselves, don't we? And let me tell you, I'm going to tell you, you can fall into that trap so very easily and with the best of intentions. I have a friend who used to tell pastors when we were in a training school, he said, men, I can't always tell you what you ought to do, but I can tell you what you shouldn't do, because I know what won't work by my own failures. Okay? And so you say, well, how do I always know if this is God's leading or my leading? That's why He gave us the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And if there's one thing I'm convinced of, it's that the Holy Spirit is doing His job.
That's right.
We may not be hearing Him by lack of sensitivity on our part or by the fact that we just want to do what we think is best to do. Father, we definitely need the direction of the Holy Spirit. Granted. Amen. All right, now we're going to take prayer requests. Let me lead off with remembering to pray for the Botan's family.